Good morning, everyone. Great to be together. And we are looking at the series Antioch Church, looking at the book of Acts, chapter 11, 13. And today I will be looking at diversity. I was thinking, like all other things, when we look at the book of Acts, about especially everyone wants to be an Antioch church, you know. It is the kind of a model church in mission, community, mercy, generosity, discipleship, prayer, and diversity, you know. So when Rich asked me to, can you cover the word diversity, you know, so I was thinking, yes, of course. I'm a person of color, being part of in a white middle class church for 16 years, I think 15 years, 16 years, 17 years. Catherine says 17 years, you know, so I've been reading Bible a lot. That's why my brain is not working properly. And so being one of the elders of City Church for nearly 3 years and working in a city with 102 different languages, my sons go to a school with 33 different nationalities. I'm so, and in my workplace, you know, so we are so, I work with nearly 80 plus different countries in my team. There are 14 to 15 different language speakers. Diversity is exciting. Here we go. Then I was looking, really looking at the scripture. I was thinking, oh dear, this is exciting. There is going to be some challenging situation also in the book of Acts we need to face. So at the same time, we're going to look through the lens of gospel of grace, how God is going to enable us in mission, in as a community, in mercy, generosity, and discipleship, prayer, and one of the areas we will be looking at diversity. But before we go, let's pray. You know, we've been massively blessed by the presence of God through prayer, singing, and sharing people from among together and coming forward. And let's ask God to come and speak to us through His Word. I'm going to give you a very pause moment, including children. Whatever you're doing, just stop. And have a conversation with God, simple way, say, God, speak to me. God, open my eyes. Holy Spirit, help me to understand your word. And I want to see what this scripture tells about you. I want to know what this scripture tells about me, and I want to be obedient, not just hearing, obeying you. Help me to understand practically how you want me to step out in faith and living out for your glory. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the breakthrough and healing you're already doing among us this morning. We love you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, in whichever form or whichever way, whichever language you use, I can guarantee God will answer your prayer. Because you ask God to come and help you to understand the word. So, Acts 13, I'm going to just touch that one, then I'll go to Acts 15, you know. So, Grant started Antioch Church, what was the starting message? How many of you believe he clearly emphasized Antioch Church being a church or people of grace? Yeah. So that was the starting point. You know, I will be touching that point a bit more further. Today's message is a people of grace. So let's see what's happening in Antioch. We can see that one in Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 onwards. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent off. So you can see that one. This church is, or this is one of the first churches we can see, not only diversity among people in leadership also. People are in leadership. It's a diverse, multicolor leadership. We can see that one. At the same time, when Luke was writing this passage, he was not avoiding some of the challenges they faced in the church of Antioch. So people from Asia were part of this leadership team. People from Africa was part of this leadership team, and people of Europe, you know, European connection also there. So this made it is a powerful example of how God is bringing every tribe, every tongue, or the last commandment of Jesus, go and preach the good news to all nations. So this is the first time you can see something in reality started happening in a local church or in a region. But it is crucial not to whitewash the story. Sometimes we just go for the, this is an amazing church. We want to be, take all these things, what God has been doing, but there were some challenges happening in the same church. We will be looking at that one a bit more closely. So Luke, who loved the Antioch church, didn't hide the major incident. I will say the Antioch incident. The big incident happened in Antioch. So the church in Antioch was the first church in the huge body of Gentile believers. It was not considered by in one ethnic group. It was the diverse leadership group, and everyone loved to see an Antioch church. Then something called the Antioch incident. What is the Antioch incident? In order to understand that one, we need to read Book of Acts chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. Okay, children, listen carefully. What is the Antioch incident? Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and debate with them. I'm talking about the Antioch church. Good in mission, good in community, good in mercy, excellent generosity in discipleship and prayer. But there is something fundamental issue happening. There was a dispute. Everything was not amazingly well. There are some serious issue happening in the Antioch church. What was the problem? Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about the question. This is one of the unique time a local church, a revival-facing church, lots of exciting things happening church, is seeking the advice and the wisdom from the apostolic and the leaders to see this is not an easy thing to just to put into one corner. This is a fundamental, foundational issue need to be dealt with as soon as possible. What they did, they sent some of them on their way. As they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. The news made all the brothers very, very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God has done through them. Exciting story. People are getting saved, added to God's kingdom. There's diversity, generosity, mission. Lots of things are happening. But the reason they came was because of a big issue. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of Pharisees stood up and said, There is a, we heard about the Conservative Party, Liberal Party, Reform Party. There is a special party. Among them was Pharisee Party, you know. So they stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. They are not random people. They are kind of followers of Jesus, but they are trying to bring something, a big argument among the Jewish community or among the leaders, saying, Jesus' death and resurrection is not enough. You need to do something extra. Children can ask that one, what is that to your, their parents? What is actually mean by that? The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met together, this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God knows the heart, so that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no discrimination or distinction between us and them, for he purified them by heart. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers had been able to bear. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Now you can understand the complexity of the problem in the church. The challenge in Antioch was clear. Some people taught, according to the custom of Moses, all these Gentiles need to be circumcised. They need to cut their foreskin. Then they will become the part of the kingdom of God or what God is doing. So what they're trying to do, Jesus plus something. Jesus is not enough. He did an amazing work. He forgave your sins. That is tick box. You know, he died on the cross. That all things are good. You believed in the resurrection power of Jesus. All things are amazingly good, but that is not enough. You need to add something else. Jesus plus something. So that means that in order to be part of the church family, you need to do something extra. The message was very, very confusing and brought a big division in the church. How did the apostles respond to that one? They didn't say that one, come on, guys, that is not inclusive. They didn't use that one. We are starting something amazing. Let's compromise some of the things. Let's do something inclusive thing, you know, being a church with lots of flags and some multicolored skin among there, we will become quite trendy, especially inclusivity and multicolorism, very trendy in our culture. So bring them in, so make it inclusive and let's work it out. They didn't say that one. They didn't say that one. Let the church be vibrant, you know. So that we know that one in our website, we can put nice people with all race, color, background, so that we can be a vibrant church, you know. So that was not their suggestion, even though there was no website at that time, you know. So I'm just paraphrasing. Don't look at the scripture. Where was the website? You know, don't look at there. So I'm trying to contextualize the context of our conversation. They didn't say that one. We must move with the times. They didn't do that one. But they made a rich theological and Trinitarian argument to deal with this problem. How do they deal with that one? So here you can see Acts 15:7. He's very clearly mentioned that one. God made a choice that Gentiles would hear the gospel and believe. That was the heart of God. It was not a good idea. It was not an inclusive idea. It was not a vibrant idea. It was the heart of God. Everyone should come to know the Jesus. And not only Jews, Gentiles should come to know Jesus. That was God's heart. This was God's idea. So Father God is involving in this process. In Acts chapter 15, verse 11 to 11, you know, 10 to 11 say that the Holy Spirit is coming there. God accepted Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit. Can you say that together, Holy Spirit? Can you say that together, God the Father? So that was God's the Father. God's heart was to welcome, rejected, unknown, living in darkness. Gentiles should come to know Jesus through someone called Jesus. That was God's heart. The Son of God died for everyone. That was God's heart. Now he has given his Holy Spirit. Whose idea was that? That was God's heart. God accepted the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did for the Jews. God accepted Gentiles just as he accepted the Jews. Not only that, if you come to Acts chapter 15, the further we read, the grace of Jesus, we all are saved as just they are, is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. So three things been clearly mentioned in the scripture. When there was a calamity, there was a confusion, they clearly communicated this was God's heart. This is the Father heart of God, and this is the how God did it. He gave the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles through the grace of Jesus Christ. So this is a fundamental issue. Not all was perfect, but there was an issue in the Antioch church. They persuaded the people, the majority culture, trying to convert and put pressure on the minority by adding extra things. The world's world's idea of diversity is for social status or to be fashionable. It's quite a fashionable thing to be diverse, you know. So especially if I say that when I have a friend from Iran, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Syria, Kuwait, you know, so I can name it. I have friends from all over the country. Then it is fashionable. Oh, blessed, I can't believe that. You have such a wide variety of friends, you know. You are a trendy guy. Then I will come to this and pray, God, I'm not like this white middle-class man. You gave me the special ability and friendship so that I can put lots of pictures in my Facebook so that people know that I'm a diverse person. That was not heart. God's heart for diversity is because something really, really serious. Everyone sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're black or white or brown, whoever you are, when God looks at you, only one thing he can see, the death, the sin, the hell, and eternal separation is going to kill you forever. That is why God needs to come down and rescue you. Even though he was rich, he is the one who became poor so that we can be rich in Christ. So that was the reason the apostle dealt with this complication through the word of God. So this is a Trinitarian argument, and it's a strong theological argument. The implication is, you know, seismic. They said that to impose cultural and ethnic barriers in the church is opposing God, is against God's heart. When you're trying to do anything extra to be parts of God's kingdom, you're opposing God. As a church, we are moving for church planting, you know, so we are becoming more and diverse church. I'm not just talking about, in this case, it's mainly race was one of the issues. In England, race is not the only issue. In Sheffield, race is not the only issue, you know, so there's a class issue there. There are lots of layers there. People are coming from working class, people are coming from middle class, from black, white, different people coming from different religious background, coming to know Jesus. When they come to become the part of God's family, what are the barriers we are going to put them to make them part of us? Is it Jesus' salvation, or do we add something extra? What are the extra? What will stop me welcoming someone to my table? Or do I respond to some of the people quickly? Oh, I quickly take their number quickly because we feel connected. Is it because of the job? Or is it because of the skin color? Or is it because of the postcode they do? Or is it because of the extracurricular activity they do? Oh, they do cycling, so can I have your number? Oh, they do nice cooking. Can I have your number? Oh, you live in S11. Oh, can I have your number? You're white. Oh, you work in a hospital. Oh, you are this one. You are that one. That made you connect. Oh, the love of God. I want to get connect with you because I was lost one time. You were lost in time. What unites us is the love of God. And thank God for people in City Church. They already demonstrate this love of God in their everyday life. I was thinking this morning, who comes to my mind quickly? I thank God for Nessie, you know. So when I go to her house parties, I can see rich and poor, old and young, black and white, and everyone together. When I go to Carrie Easton's party, you know, I can see the rich and the poor, the black and the white, the disabled and people on crutches, you know. So people are old age or young age, you know, babies to everyone. I can see them on the table. I'm not asking you should do that one, but I can see that the love of God. I thank God for Willoughby's, you know. So when I go to them, you know, I can see that one. I thank God for Mike and Jill. They do that one. I can thank God for Rupert in our city church, you know. So he does that really well. I thank God for the Mills, and I can name lots of people. When I've been among them, I can see how they're living out. So that means God is already doing an amazing work among us. But it's a big way we need to move forward. We may not have the clear parallels comparing to the church in Antioch, but we have lots of challenges we put in our lives. I want to emphasize this one very clearly. Diversity is not the mission of church. Diversity is not. But it is an inevitable byproduct of preaching the gospel to all nations. Diversity is not the church mission, but it is an inevitable byproduct of preaching the gospel to all nations. We pursue a diverse based on grace. We pursue a diversity based on grace, not on works. When we insist on specific culture or expectation, or we are implying that Christianity is Jesus plus something, it's based on certain dress code, or speaking the way you speak, eating culture, we are putting barriers and we are opposing God. Paul said in Galatians 2, you're not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. When Peter refused to eat with the Gentiles, you know that story, go and read Galatians 2. He refused to eat with the Gentiles because of the circumcision party was in the among them. He said, sorry guys, I can't eat with you now. because you are Gentile, I don't want to offend the Jewish believers. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and he destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus, in his incarnation, made himself. Philippians 2, 7, and 2 Corinthians 8, 9, you know, you can see that one. Though, even though he was equal to God, he made himself. I'd like to look at the, there is a graph, I put in that one. There is a power imbalance graph, might be able to show that one. The power dynamics, there is a PowerPoint. Sorry, it's catching the things. This is a power dynamics graph. So, in a church, in a city, or in politics, anywhere, the dominant group can influence change 80%. It could be email. As an elder, I've been for 3 years. I know how many emails come to me, who approach me, who ask for who, and I can see who will advocate for, you know. So when it's coming to homelessness, I can see that one. Where the, in a diverse church, who will advocate for the poor and the needy, and who will stand for people already have power and lots of privileges. The weak will be weak. The strong get more attention because of they already have a dominance in a way to communicate to you, to text to you, or to bring a phone call to you, or they will come and talk to you. But the people with the barriers, they don't come and talk to you. That's the place the church needs to be, a place to bring people on the margin to the table so that we can all celebrate God's goodness. Second one is a marginalized group, they can only influence 20%. Dominant group, resistant to change. If there is a new change coming, 70% of the dominant group can stop it. Even though that is so relevant to the marginalized one because of the power imbalance. And the marginalized group's desire for change is 90% can be squashed by the 75% because of the technological multi-layer advances in the society, so that will be squashed. Just place that in a church context. How do we serve one another? Who comes to your table? I'm not asking to make your dinner table multicolor for the sake of multicolor and make it vibrant. It's the grace enabling you to bring every background people to serve God together. So this is the challenge, becoming an Antioch church. We are hearing about quiet revival. We are hearing about Jesus' moment, how many people are getting saved and added to God's kingdom. Simon Gilbert's meeting, there must be 150 or 200 people will turn up. We don't know what kind of background they are going to be. Are we looking for polished, civilized, very certain amount of standard so that I feel comfortable to have a connection with them, or are we ready to see people getting saved and added to God's kingdom? We are going to plant churches. Some of the poorer area, multicultural area, there is no bedtime. Parenting style is different. They don't use diary. Many of them, they don't even use emails. They don't even meet on Costa. They eat takeaways. They sleep on the lounge. Teenage pregnancy. Sleep with the multi-men. Addicted to drugs and alcohol. What kind of church are we going to become? If Jesus is not enough, and if you think Jesus plus, these are the things you need to be do to welcome you, I will say you are opposing God's plan. It's exciting to talk about multicolor Antioch Church, but there are challenges to go through. Unless we are transformed by the gospel of grace, it is impossible. You give up. We give up. We think, oh, even when I talk now, I can guarantee I can do a grace test now, okay? If you're under grace or grace. I'm so bad. I don't have any multicolor friends. I don't have any poor among you now, you know, so. Oh. When I come to church, I only talk to my friends. That's the only time I get the chance to have a chat with them. I'm not like them, you know. Look at them. They have lots of friends. They invited lots of people to their house and never, ever invited anyone to. I'm feeling bad. You need the gospel of grace. Without the grace of God, without the power of God, you cannot be part of God's kingdom. The more you feel guilt, good news for you is grace is available for you today to set you free from the yoke of shame and guilt to knowing that opportunity. Can you say that opportunity together? Opportunity, opportunity. Because once I was not aware about these things, but this morning through the word of God, grace, 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 grace is going to enable me through the word, through his power, I can serve anyone through the work of the Holy Spirit. It might take years or months. It's all right. But that's God's work. That's the way we will be transformed into the image of God. So repent, reflect, rise up and build to see a true Antioch church really among us and among others. Get to know someone different from you. Break bread with someone outside your bubble. Hear their story and be willing to share your story. Invite people to a meal. I won't say no pressure. There is no pressure word in the Bible. In England, one of the most used word, abused word is no pressure. Jesus didn't say, follow me, no pressure. Keep on praying, no pressure. Remember the poor, no pressure. He said, follow me. Lay down your life. No pressure. If you are under the grace of God, you don't feel the pressure. If the more pressure is, there's something wrong with the theology and understanding of God's grace. If you feel the pressure, turn to God. God, I'm feeling pressure. God will lift you up. I'm going to finish now. If you lead a team, make every effort to invite intentionally weaker people with the gifting to be part of the serving team or whatever you do. Make every effort. Some people say, you are the elders, you're supposed to do that one. No. We all have leadership responsibility. Everyone. In every sphere of life, we are leaders in one sense or one way or other way. When you have a lead or when you have some opportunity, how do you bring people to serve alongside with you so that you can celebrate together? The great place to come is Lord's Table. We don't have Lord's Table today. I'm going to finish with that one. When come to Lord's Table, let us come one another to be based on our culture, cultural preference, but because we share the same Savior. The grace of God transcends all barriers, and the unity we find in Christ is a powerful witness to the world. May our diversity be a tangible expression of the manifold wisdom of God revealed through his church. That is the table. What is on the table? It's not bread, it's Him. We eat from Him. I'm happy to eat from this table, but I have restriction in my table. Now, the grace of God will enable you to take part from the table, also in your table, to bring people not like you. That's the way every tribe, every tongue, every people, every land giving glory to God's kingdom, and we can be part of God's kingdom. I would like to invite the band to come forward, and we're going to respond now. Might be a good opportunity to respond. When we talk about pastoral care, sharing the news of someone sick, advocacy, who do we stand for? Our friends, families, people like us, or someone else? That's what Jesus did. He came down to where we are so that we can be welcomed into God's family. Let's stand.